Oh, good morning, Professor. Hey, how was your weekend? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I hope things get better for you soon. Me? I was here, working. Well, I know I just started last week, but I'm very excited to be working with you, Professor. So I spent the last couple days getting familiar with the lab, reviewing some of the latest research data, and just getting the lay of the land, you know? I want to make a good first impression. Oh, no, I wasn't alone. I don't actually have my lab keycard yet. It hasn't been issued, but Mr. Childers was here with me. It was actually his suggestion. What? Cold? Why would I be cold? Oh, well, thank you, but I'd appreciate if you kept your comments about my appearance to yourself, even if they're just compliments. Anyway, I just want you to know that you won't regret hiring me. I'm fully up to speed on the latest neuroscientific theories and drug therapies, and I spent the weekend at the lab because, well, I wanted to get up to speed with what you've been working on here as fast as possible. I'm sorry, your wife? Oh. Oh, that's too bad. Okay, I'm sorry, can I interrupt you for just a second? I know I asked you how your weekend was before, but the truth is, I was just being polite. I don't really think I'm the appropriate person to talk to about troubles with your marriage. No, it's okay. This kind of thing happens to me surprisingly often, actually. Professor, can I be honest with you about something? I think it's best to just say it up front, okay? I know I'm inexperienced and fresh out of grad school. I'm also obviously female, and I try to be friendly. That's just who I am, okay? And because I'm young, and some people find me attractive, that can make it hard for me to gain the respect I deserve among the largely male-dominated field of neuroscientific research. It's honestly something all women struggle with in this field, in any STEM field, actually. I mean, I'm not upset or anything. I know that well-intentioned men sometimes don't realize they're succumbing to sexist stereotypes and behaviors, especially when they feel insecure about being around such a confident and intelligent young woman. No, I don't mean to imply that you're doing anything like that intentionally, Professor. I just find it's best to be upfront and honest about these boundaries from the get-go. I just don't want you to get the wrong impression. I'm not really here to be your friend. I'm not some kind of confidant or cheerleader that you can come to when you're having trouble in your personal life. I graduated the top 5% of my class. And I have 2 degrees, one in neuroscience and another in pharmaceutical science. I'm your colleague, and given the historical disparity of respect and standing women struggle with in the scientific community, I just think it's a good idea if we fight against that by keeping things purely professional. I'm here for research, and if I may make a suggestion, I really don't think you should bring your personal problems to the lab at all, okay? And I especially don't think you should be making disparaging comments about your wife to me, of all people. To be honest with you, I had to have this talk with Mr. Childers as well. I mean, I don't want to get him in trouble or anything. I don't think it was anything he was aware he was doing. It's just, I do kind of think it's important that he be made aware of these latent sexist attitudes. Just like I'm trying to make you aware of them, despite your ignorance, so that you can do better next time. There's no hard feelings, just thank you for understanding. I know I mentioned this in our interview, so I figured you'd probably be okay with a little reminder. And really, Mr. Childers didn't do anything wrong, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't discipline him this time, okay? Maybe you could just set up a office-wide sexual harassment seminar or something. That way, everyone can benefit from it, and he won't feel singled out. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad we got the air cleared there. Why are you laughing? Oh, well, thank you, but that's why you hired me, right? Because I'm honest and sure of myself, and I can hold my own in a male-dominated environment. Well, thank you again. Anyway, I did have some questions about some of the data on one of the drugs you're developing. Well, specifically this Corday Task, the drug candidate your lab has been working on for the last, 5 years? I'm a little confused as to why we're still working on it. It's obviously never going to be approved by the FDA. Excuse me? I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Oh my gosh. For a second there, it sounded like you said something else. Whew, that would have been really awkward considering the talk we just got through having. Hop on the lab counter? Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, well, anyway, it's certainly a fascinating pharmaceutical, and I understand its potential. A compound that literally compartmentalizes the human brain, allowing the subject to make use of a much higher percentage of the brain's potential than we normally do. In effect, it allows someone to time slice and multitask complex thought processes much more efficiently, potentially unlocking much higher levels of intelligence and analytical and inductive reasoning. It's a remarkable premise, but Professor, it's also fundamentally flawed. What? My skirt is really short, isn't it? Well, I've been looking at the data, and in practice, the drug just hasn't worked that way. Ow! Professor, what are you doing down there? Of course I didn't wear panties, why would I? Anyway, as I was saying, and I found that early trials did in fact increase brain utilization by approximately 25%, which is impressive. But it seems in practice the tasks were clearly and definitively separated into conscious and unconscious processes. One task was completed with great acuity and efficiency, while the brain was clearly occupied with another task on a subconscious level, to the point that the subject was not even aware of what was happening. Yes, sir, they are spread open, sir. Ow, sir, I told you they're already spread as wide as I can. Yes, sir. Well, no. It seems to be a fundamental feature of the drug. As near as I can tell, there is no way to push those subconscious thought processes and behaviors into the conscious mind. No, but it is important, I think. There are sticky ethics concerned, Professor. Guidelines exist across several disciplines, including the medical field, and the neurosciences that are very persnickety about the consequences of unintended side effects. That will no doubt indefinitely delay the clinical approval of the drug by the FDA. Ow, Professor, you're squeezing too hard. My legs bruise easily. Okay. No, what I'm getting at is this. It does take a little inductive reasoning, though. So please try your best to follow my train of thought, okay? Ow! The problem with the drug, and specifically the problem with this dichotomous conscious / subconscious effect, is that the chemical compound could be targeted to specific parts of the brain. It could be used in tandem with suggestive triggers or hypnotic influences to initiate an entire suite of persistent and ongoing behaviors in the subject that are that they are completely unaware of. In effect, I know that this sounds outrageous, but it could be used as a pharmaceutical means of mind control. And, well, as groundbreaking and as exciting as the prospect is, It's completely and wholly unethical. It would literally be like a doctor cutting into someone's brain to do research on them while they're still alive. Only this is doing it to their mind, with consequences that are just as invasive and irreversible, without any consideration to one of the major tenets of Hippocrates' treatise called the Epidemics, which is, by the way, commonly mistaken to be part of the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm. I could give you an example I thought of how this drug might be used if somehow it made its way into the wrong hands. Do you want to hear it? Oh, yes, sir. You want me on my knees first? Yes, sir. Well, let's take, for example, the typical neuroscience lab, in which most of the employees are sexist males, with the exception of a single female research assistant. Granted, this is an extreme example, but I think it's important to illustrate my... What if, for example, you were to give me, for example, this drug? And you were looking for a specific subconscious effect. Let's say you found me attractive, and you were unhappy with your wife. Maybe you wished you could make me do things sexually. That she refused to do. And you wanted to use me to cheat on her. Of course, I would never agree to have sex with you consciously. We both know that, Professor. But with the proper tuning of the drug, which could be delivered without my knowledge in my morning coffee, for example. And the proper suggestive influences, which could be delivered through an email, or a text on my phone, or a unique offensive phrase that you speak to me and I immediately forget. You could very quickly make me compliant with your sexual advances in such a way that I was never consciously aware of it. It is completely within the realm of possibility that you could be using me for sex, and I wouldn't even know it. brain would completely block it out. I'm serious, Professor. You could be doing the most obscene and disgusting things you could possibly think of to me right now. The kind of things that would stimulate your sexist male brain and reinforce your worldview that attractive women like me have no place in a scientific lab. Or, for that matter, a useful place in society beyond my suitability for becoming a sex toy. Or a breeding whore. To satisfy the male patriarchy. And I wouldn't even be conscious of it. The drug would be so efficient at hiding what you've done to me and compartmentalizing the activity in my brain that it's likely the only way it would ever manifest itself in my conscious mind is as some kind of persistent, reoccurring, embarrassing sexual fantasy. Good morning, Dr. Olson. Yes, of course I remember our meeting. I'll see you in there in about 10 minutes, okay? Okay. Sorry, sir. Yes, sir. I'll bend over the counter again. See you later, Dr. Olson. Anyway, those daydreams, they would no doubt trigger an automatic sexual response in my body, like chills on my skin, hardening nipples, and an embarrassing wetness between my legs as I'm trying to complete important and delicate lab work. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pull my pigtails. Yes, sir. But do you understand what I'm saying, Professor? Do you grasp the potential complications? Ow! And implications? Oh, fuck! Ow! That the research and release of a drug like this could have on the world. Particularly on women. Fuck, it's going in my ass, Professor. Fuck. Hold me down and pull my hair. It's actually pretty terrifying. Men could potentially use a specifically targeted variant of this drug on women as a new kind of date rape. Good. They could get them talking about politics, or work, or movies, or pop culture, all while fucking their brains out in some disgusting public bathroom somewhere with a woman not even realizing what's happening. Oh, Professor, that hurts my ass. Oh, God. Yes, choke me, Professor. But even worse than that, though, it could be used repeatedly for programming certain behavior. Like, for example, in our purely fictional alternate universe neurosciences lab, you could use it on me consistently. I mean, over the course of, say, as little as a week, you could have me effectively programmed to wear tiny skirts and tight tops, completely inappropriate for the workplace, but totally appropriate for a stupid, shameless slut who clearly wants to be used and fucked and sexually degraded by her misogynistic co-workers. You could remove my desire to subvert the patriarchy and train my subconscious to groom myself Every morning by shaving my legs and pussy, applying the horse makeup. Even putting my hair up pigtails to satisfy some disgusting school fetish for my boss and engaging in completely obscene behavior for the free and unrestricted use by all the employees. You could even program me to bend over on demand, lift my skirt up and take any cock that's presented to me up my asshole. Oh, that's the power of this horrific drug, Professor. Oh God, Professor, it's too much. My ass. Fuck. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking it out. That feels better, sir. On my knees again. Yes, sir. Anyway, I know I'm outlining particularly extreme scenarios with my silly thought experiments, but I'm saying all this to illustrate a point. I mean, I'm positive that was not the intent when you were researching this compound. Right, Professor? You don't want the medication you developed to be perverted into some kind of new date rape drug, do you? Or worse, into some kind of long-term means of mind control for the permanent sexual enslavement of women. I mean, women, especially women like me, are vulnerable, Professor. Men are horrible. And if you give them power like that, they'll abuse it. They'll take it to extremes, and before you know it, women won't be women anymore. They'll just be toys. Yes, on my face, all over my face. Yes, sir, all over me. You're right, Professor. I'm a stupid cum dump. Oh, yes, sir. I'll eat it for you. Off my face. Thank you, Professor. Thank you. Anyway, I think we should remove the drug from FDA consideration and destroy all the research. I really do. Oh, really? Yeah. Naturally. You're right. My imagination is getting the better of me. Yes, of course, you're right, Professor. I can't believe I let myself fall into that trap. You're right. I'm letting emotion and personal trauma get in the way of objective scientific analysis. Oh my gosh. And to think I was giving you a hard time for doing the exact same thing earlier with your wife. No, thank you for being so upfront and honest with me. Of course these risk factors can be mitigated, Professor. You're absolutely right. Yes, naturally. The drug is still relatively early in its approval process, and there are several more iterations to the formula to come. It does hold great promise for patients with Alzheimer's and long-term dementia disorders, not to mention its potential profitability for use in overall mental acuity enhancement for otherwise healthy individuals. Of course, Professor. Honestly, I apologize. Look at me. I've only been here a week, and I'm already trying to change the operating parameters of your lab without really having given your in-place procedures and safety protocols a chance. Anyway, thank you for listening, and honestly, thank you for understanding about the whole leave your personal life at home request. I really am just here for work. I believe in the work, and I'm honored to be here, truly. Oops, I've got that meeting with Dr. Olson in a few minutes. I forgot. I think I need to head that way. I really don't want to keep him waiting. If you'll excuse me. Thank you again, Professor. And again, you won't regret hiring me. I promise I will work so hard. Just so you know, I'm always available. Whenever you need me, okay? Okay. Thank you.